Hey everybody and welcome. This is Donovan Bankhead with Springfield Music, and I appreciate you dropping in and listening to the podcast. With the Bow Better Bands podcast, my intention is to talk with our fellow educators across the state and share some of their best tips, tricks, and best practices. Also, maybe even share some of the things that they're struggling with so that we can help each other out, because we're all dealing with so many of the same issues in your programs. And us, as your school music dealer, want to try to be a resource to help you solve some of these challenges and issues. So anyway, we always appreciate you listening. And if you have ideas or tips or would like to be featured on the podcast, reach out to me and let me know. Donovan@springfield-music.com. All right, let's jump in.
Hey folks, I want to hear from you. If you have thoughts on today's episodes, have a suggestion for a future guest, or just have something you want to ask or share, look in the show notes of your podcasting app and click the link to send in a voice message. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, today on Mo Better Bands podcast, we're talking with my friend Dan Duffield. And Dan has been an active performer, composer, arranger, marching designer, and educator throughout the country. He got his bachelor's degree in percussion performance and education from the University of Iowa. And he has taught at a lot of schools all throughout Iowa and kind of around the area. Currently, he's the head band director at Neosho High School, or Neosho School District in Neosho, Missouri. And he also is the owner of Pulse Marching, which Pulse Marching is a company, if you're not familiar with it, is a company that Dan can probably explain this better than I can, but that can help you with like show concept design, arranging, drill, choreography, all that kind of stuff. So Dan, welcome to Mo Better Bands podcast. And why don't you pick up where I left off and tell me a little bit about Pulse Marching?
First of all, thank you for inviting me to be on. I'm very humbled to be part of this, and you're such an advocate for music education, so I really appreciate being a part of this. Yeah, Pulse Marching, I think you did a good job. We design marching shows for clients all across the country, schools of varying levels, from groups that might be going to BOA to groups that might be doing Friday night only performances, you know, just halftime only performances, and everything in between there. One thing that we do, we really work to specifications of the band. So even though we might have shows that are available on our website for people to purchase, we would cater that to the specific strengths and weaknesses of the group. So maybe the show might be clarinet heavy, but this band has got a weak clarinet section. We would reorchestrate it, rescore it to feature other sections in the band.
That's such an important part because you're right. A lot of times we, directors in schools, will purchase arrangements, but it was arranged for the strengths of another band, or maybe just arranged in a standard format. But you may be at a school where that particular year, standard format doesn't really work for your ensemble.
Right.
You know, you may have a strong trumpet year and a weak clarinet year, or vice versa. And you need someone that can kind of help nip and tuck and tweak and like, don't look at this, look at this instead. And so having some customization there, I think, is super helpful. Super helpful in a normal time period, probably critical and ultimately necessary in coming out of the pandemic.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So you and I talked a little while ago, before I even was doing this podcast. Matter of fact, I was sitting on the shores of Lake Michigan. We had a conversation and we were talking about Pulse and the things with your business. And we were discussing kind of what's going on and how things are happening. And even from back then, you know, because you've had Pulse Marching for years. How long has this side business of yours been around?
Well, my two partners and I, we had been writing for several years in the early 2000s and working with various drum corps at the time and starting to learn about copyright, and thought, let's just form ourselves into an entity. So, I mean, we were an official entity in 2005. It was February 14th, actually, on Valentine's Day, we formed the company.
So you've done this for a while. And we were talking about, you know, there are a lot of schools bought programs, customized programs for the 2020 marching season. And then we all know what happened to that. And then their plan was to just basically shelve that show and then come back to it for the fall of 2021. That's probably going to be problematic. And certainly with you being a high school band director yourself, you kind of understand that if someone just thinks like, I'm just going to pull this off the shelf and do it, that they might run into some issues. So you want to talk a little bit about what some of those issues might be?
Well, it was a whole bunch of issues. I mean, even with my own school, but I mean, a lot of our clients are doing exactly what you just said, where they are taking their show that they were planning on doing for 2020 and just doing it this next year. However, you know, the soloist that they wanted to feature graduated, or what was their strength that they were wanting to showcase is no longer going to be their strength this next year. You know, recruitment and retention. I mean, I've gone to various webinars for that just as a band director. And I understand that people are, they have fluctuating numbers that are really, really crazy from what they would have one year to another. And so just instrumentation is problematic too. But from the educator standpoint, you know, like we tried to provide experiences for our students that we thought were meaningful and still be able to, you know, even though we weren't going to competition, still do something that's going to build them up. And we did a much, you know, shorter show. And going through that, I was still like hoping to get through the show, and we tried doing other things. So essentially, I've got an entire freshman class that's going to be sophomores that's never really prepared for competition season. And then I've got a whole group of incoming freshmen that when they learn from the upperclassmen are also going to be completely new to this too. So you start looking at how much show you have. And for a lot of our clients and myself included, I'm trying to dial some stuff back. I want to still make sure that we're able to get certain things, but I also want it to be really achievable for them to have great success.
Well, and yeah, you've mentioned, I mean, you basically have half of your high school marching band's going to be new to the marching activity. Even right. If they did it last year, wasn't quite the same activity. So,
not even close. I mean, the amount of hours that we plan, we dial that way back. I mean, there's no point to be pushing that. And especially like part of the retention process is being able to travel and go on trips and just going to do those marching band competitions and stuff in the fall. And so we had to try doing some other fun activities that might not even be performance based. So it was a whole different mindset and goal for us for this year. And from a lot of, you know, my colleagues in the area or, you know, clients that we have throughout, I mean, they've had similar problems. And it's just, you know, you have to look at what you've got. And dialing back the show is something that we had to do with my band. I mean, I cut off a minute and a half of what we were planning on doing for 2020. You know, I had a senior trumpet soloist I was wanting to feature that ended up graduating. You know, so there's a lot of those types of things that are coming through that we had to redo with my own show. But a lot of clients are having similar things, like let's dial back how many sets we would do, how much show we would try doing, and so forth.
In my conversation with Steve and Lindsay Vento, they basically talked about the same thing, and they were saying that every program is doing that. And Lindsay was very explicit about it. She was like, you know, dispel any notion that there's programs out there that are not making adjustments and pulling things back, because every program across the country is dealing with this challenge of their students not being as prepared and experienced as the students before. You know, Steve had even mentioned like they're likely not in the condition that they need to be in to pull off a show that they would normally do. Certainly like musically and chop wise, they're probably not. Even our incoming freshmen, depending on the school district you're at, a lot of our incoming freshmen haven't had the time on the horn that a normal incoming freshman would have. So I think everyone across the country is kind of dialing things back. And we'd had a conversation and I kind of had that epiphany of thinking, man, if I was a director, I think I'd want to finish the 2021 marching season feeling like, you know, that was a successful season. We could have actually probably pulled off a harder show than to finish the season and think like, ooh, we bit off a little more than we could chew there and feel bad about it, you know? So I think if directors think like, let's simplify this a bit, pull it back a bit, that's the right move from everyone that we're hearing.
I think that's probably something that people grapple with every single year with their marching show already. You know, they talk about peaking too early, and you don't want to peak too early. And so you're always thinking, oh, we need to have more, we need to be pushing. But I agree. I think 2021 more so than at least any year that I've ever had to teach, you want to make sure that the students do feel really successful and really proud of what they're able to do and not have any regrets, you know, with, mm-hmm. We did too much. We probably shouldn't have done that. You know, like add to the show. And sometimes that could be problematic during a normal year. Maybe that's something that you do if they're really achieving, hey, let's try doing this. Let's try doing that. And you get to do those little fun things instead of having to go through and drastically water and they're already feeling overwhelmed. And now you're cutting out our really cool part of the show and well, you're not achieving it, you know? So that's probably not a good way for them to feel this year more so than any other year, you know?
Yeah. You want to set them up for success. You always want to set them up for success, but I think it's more critical this year than ever that we're setting them up for success. It's been obviously a rough year and a half. Kids are super excited to kind of get back into this and, you know, having this be a really positive experience to sort of rejuvenate everyone is going to be a really important consideration, I think, for every director to have.
Yeah. And not even the marching aspect. I mean, you talk about kids not being on their horn as much, but I mean, physically playing in a band setting, not a lot of people have had that opportunity. I mean, there are some people that were able to have concerts and may have had a location that they could have socially distanced and had, you know, somewhat of a makeshift ensemble, but it's not what their true band is for probably anybody. You know, most people did not get that luxury. I mean, people did very abbreviated things. So their one experience to be able to do band for most people was outside during marching band last year when we got to play, but it wasn't what a typical ensemble is. So, I mean, just getting back into regular listening of this is what I should sound like in a band and how my role functions in this ensemble. I mean, it's very nuanced that you have to take that into consideration along with, hey, I've got all of this visual and all this other responsibility that's unique to marching band, you know?
Yeah.
Coupled with ensemble playing.
Sorry, my dog is just like tearing through here. Every once in a while, I try to shut the mic off if he's going nuts. But if anyone who hears clicking and tapping and noise in the background, it's Sarge. I guess I should officially make him my co-host because he's just as audible on this podcast, I think, as I am. But anyway, so let's talk a little about the benefit of using a professional company to put together our show. A lot of directors, obviously it's an investment in your program, but some directors a lot of directors, of course, are choosing this. They're choosing to get a company like yours to kind of put together a show package for them. Others will try to piece out pieces of it. Maybe they'll write the drill or they'll use a stock arrangement from a publisher and then hire a drill writer or some combination therefore. What are the benefits and typical difference in cost between using just like an off-the-shelf thing that I might purchase from like a normal publisher versus doing something custom?
Well, there's plenty of pros and cons that I could go through. You know, I always thought that a custom show, like when we first started writing, it was always for competitive ensembles. And that's what I always assumed that we were going to be working towards. And, you know, me as like a 19, 20, 21 year old musician, aspiring designer, I just assumed I was going to be writing for, you know, top end competitive groups. And I was really surprised by, you know, people that may be using us for Friday night only halftime performances or people that are just going into being competitive. And it actually kind of changed how we thought about designing in the first place. But you know, one of the main benefits, you know, is obviously a director has so much stuff on their plate already. And so by having to take that off of their plate, you know, that's a big reason why people try to use us in the first place. And going through, you know, a company that has, you know, they do all the design elements is also easier for most directors instead of having to subcontract out to 2, 3, 4 different designers and try to make sure that they're all on the same page, because there's a lot of stuff that can get lost in communication. And, you know, we've had to work with other designers at times. It's like, oh, this is what I have in my notes from the director and this is what they have. And then, so we have to go back. And sometimes it seems like there's more time that goes on to that, but in terms of design, what like I was telling you earlier, I mean, what we do is completely customized to the school, you know, so that's the big benefit is they'll go through and give us grade levels. We really talk about, you know, every single section, like they have long discussions with us of I've got 12 flutes, but you know, seven of them are really weak. And then I've got five that are just outstanding district level, you know, top players. And so trying to find something that isn't going to be, you know, just whole notes for, you know, seven of them and then all this other stuff for the others. So trying to find that happy balance to be able to feature those groups. Sometimes directors, you know, and we all have a love of music and there are certain pieces that speak to us. And so there's a lot of times where a director might contact me and say, hey, I really like this piece. I want to do it in a marching show. They have no idea how they would do that in a marching show. So we build a concept maybe around that piece. We try to find other pieces that could, you know, pair with that and complement it to try to design a concept. And then on the flip side, sometimes people just say, hey, I've always wanted to do a show about this, you know, what music should I do? You know? And so we'll go through and we'll find the music through it too. And then something like us too, because obviously copyright is really important when we're going through arranging. And it's kind of the thing with the activity right now to try incorporating a pop tune or two with, you know, maybe something that's, you know, very classical in nature or something that might be a little bit more modern wind ensemble scoring or minimalistic orchestral stuff. And you want to try bridging all this stuff together. But there's copyright that's involved. And so having the entity be able to file and take care of that stuff on the director's behalf, I think is another thing that just takes it all off their plate. And in terms of pricing, we go through on essentially what we're doing. And we add the licensing costs that are in there because those are set by the publishers and they can range. I mean, some of them might be free or $50, $100. I mean, some of them could be $5,000 or more, you know, I think a lot of them are probably between $300 and $500 per piece, you know, and it's how you're going to utilize those pieces and all of that as well. And so once we do that, then we kind of figure out, all right, what else are you wanting to do? What's the other elements of this? Are they wanting to storyboard and tell a whole story and be very literal in how the show design is going to work? Or is it going to be a little bit more abstract and here's a concept, it's loosely based this, we're going to use these visual elements that we're going to try tying in to just give this thematic approach? Or is it, I want to play this tune, this tune, this tune, and this tune. And they want a little bit more literal transcriptions for their arrangements. So all of that can vary in price from, you know, in terms of music, anywhere from, for us, you know, $1,500 to $4,500 for music. And then with drill, it's also taken into account, you know, how many marching members do you have? How many pages of drill are you on? Like literal pictures that are going on there. And so obviously they might say, oh, we want 50. And when you're actually doing the connect the dots and when we actually go through all the count sheet, maybe it's 48 or 52, but that's what we're going to try shooting for is somewhere in that range. And so that price can also range from anywhere from $1,500 to $4,500 for us with the drill and the choreography, you know, color guard work. Our price on that is $1,500 to $2,000, depending if it's recorded or an in-person camp as well. So there are those levels. And obviously we give certain discounts to people that are ordering more things from us or they order earlier because obviously we have more time to plan and schedule that stuff in.
But you still have some time for programs maybe that haven't yet picked their fall show or want to do a different fall show. And your website, pulsemarching.com, really has a nice job of kind of lining out those different costs. You kind of lay out like if you just want like a performance level arrangement of music for Friday night games or so on and so forth, it's this price. If you want a competitive type of arrangement, it's this price. And it's really nice for people to kind of get a sense of what each of those things cost. I know when I was the treasurer of my oldest son's high school marching band, which was a fun experience to be involved that way. I'm not handy enough to build props and stuff like that, but I can balance the checkbook and write checks and stuff like that.
It's an important skill.
It is. Yeah,
very important. Yeah.
But, you know, the directors at this school also, they had used custom arrangements. They used custom drill, and it's a huge time saver for them. And it allows them to focus more on how they're going to teach and all the other logistics of doing marching band. Kids would do fundraisers and things and pay their band fees to kind of pay for those costs. But it makes that program, which is your most visual program anyways, the high school marching band, makes it look really polished, put together, and professional, and is easier for an educator, I think, than having to come up and adapt everything on their own, which is super, super time consuming. But something that one wants to do because they want to do it, then that's another thing. But it's a lot of work to do it, and it's hard to be practicing on your band because it's not something we're getting a lot of instruction with in university. You might get some general kind of instruction on drill writing and stuff like that, but it's not quite the same.
Sure.
And for someone who gets to arrange their band's marching show every year, they're doing one, whereas your company will do dozens and dozens and, you know, of these every year. So you're just getting so much more experience to,
right,
to get better at it, which is certainly an important part of it. It's just the experience.
And I guess I would say, like, so when a director also, I mean, you could certainly go through and order pre-made arrangements, and maybe the director just does the drill, or they just contract out for drill. I mean, that's a real popular thing too. I mean, one thing that we do, and we do have shows that are on our website so people can kind of look at our work, but they may want to order that show. And so, and I think this is true with a lot of companies that are with us. They have something that's called like an adaptation where you can order that. I mean, some companies might just sell you, here's this show, or what we do is we have what's an adaptation, and we'll, you know, frame it for your band. Here's the show that we had before, but we'll adjust the parts so it works. But I mean, there is a caveat to that because it might be a grade 4 show and they say, well, my band is a grade 2. I mean, there's probably only so much give and take, otherwise the integrity of the piece is lost.
Sure. Well, and on your site, again, you lay out a lot of these different shows that one can buy, and you assign them by grade level. So someone can kind of scan through here, get a show concept, see the pricing, see the grade level, and then click on that and see even the individual pieces that are inside of it. And that could be a really effective way to more affordably have, you know, this kind of a custom arrangement, a custom adaptation for your band without having to do something that's custom in terms of being all original. Adapting what's already been done just to fit a program can be a really cost-effective way to look professional.
Right. It's not a commission new project, but it's commission that's still unique to your band, you know. And I would say another thing with the grade levels, this is probably just a generic thing for the normal band director to kind of think about. But, and I learned this from early on to now, we always think about our band, our concert band, you know, that's the bread and butter. That's what the whole program is built around. And this is just, you know, the marching part, that's a really cool activity. Your jazz portion, that's just a really cool thing that you do, but everything centered around, you know, your concert program. And so when they talk about grade level, they're thinking, oh yeah, my band is, you know, we played grade 4 at contest. Well, what you do sitting down on a stage later in the school year is different than what you would be doing running around the field. And so I like to tell them, think about dialing that back at least a half grade level to a full grade level of what you do in your concert program to what you'd be able to probably achieve outside and still feel that same amount of success. So it's just something for the normal band director to be thinking about when they're thinking about marching band, like, oh, I this is my level of concert band. It's not the same for marching.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I think any experienced director knows that by now. They likely learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
But a younger director won't know that yet. You know, younger directors already come out of college, want to play all the music that they love and, you know, that they played in college and what they may have played at their high school. And it's hard for them to recognize where they're at and how far down they should move this, the complication of the music for their programs. I think the less experience you have, the harder it is. And my gut feeling would be that probably most directors make the mistake of choosing music that's too hard for the field.
Yeah. And they do. I've got this too, like in this complex when I'm sitting there talking about the grade level, it's like, you know, I know my group is better than this. But, you know, marching, there's these added levels to it. It's a thing that you have to get over. But you're right. I mean, a lot of younger directors, their first few years out, okay, now they're feeling some success. And, you know, it's not that they think poorly of their band. They think highly of their band, but they think highly of their band in different ways, you know, different parts of the year, different, you know, facets of your program as different grade levels, you know,
yeah.
Should be probably treated as such.
I've been pretty fortunate over the pandemic. I've kept my trumpet playing up, and in many respects, of course, we'll see how this pans out when I'm actually sitting in an ensemble. But I got to tell you, so far, I feel like I'm playing better than I've ever played in my life.
Wow.
And can play pretty much anything that I am putting in front of myself. It's like, yeah, man, I can't believe I'm playing this. Not playing it perfect, but playing it pretty well for not being in an ensemble for over a year.
Yeah.
I know if I had to walk up and down my street and do it at the same time, it would be a totally different experience. Now, granted, I'm not quite in the fighting shape that I was in when I was in high school and college, but even beyond that, it's just a heck of a lot more challenging when you're moving around, when there's things moving around in front of you, you're trying to remember your placements and you're incorporating body movement, and there's like rifles and flags being thrown all over the place. Like, it's just a different ball game at that point.
Sure. Yeah. And I think what you're referring to is what we like to call the dad bod. So I think we're all there.
Man, I've been so cool that I've had the dad bod almost my entire life. So I'm an early adopter.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, goodness. Okay, cool. So talk to me a little bit about the process. So if, you know, director decides like, okay, I want to hire Pulse Marching. I want to work with you guys to develop something good so that my kids for this 2021 season are going to have a really good marching season that they can feel good about. So I'm going to make the investment. Tell me what that process would look like.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, I have directors that call me in season already planning for the next year, and that's really helpful. Then I have people that will call me in late July, early August that said, hey, I forgot we have to do marching band, you know, this year. So, I mean, it changes quite a bit, you know, no matter what. But I would say, you know, the average process, they contact us, you know, we have that discussion. What is it that, you know, you're looking for and kind of what you're wanting to achieve too. I mean, some of them, it's really good to know, hey, we've gone to competitions. This is about where we score, like letting us know, this is what our strengths are. This is our weaknesses. You know, we're really strong in our, you know, woodwinds or brass is weak, or, you know, we actually do really well in marching. We, you know, our music's this, and then kind of getting a feel of, you know, what's some shows that you've done before. It's always helpful for us to be able to see the band. So getting a video of the group has been the best thing for us. And we kind of say, okay, this is where you're at. And, you know, we'll go through, we'll plan out the show. Or is it something, do you guys use props, you know, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that they're like, okay, yeah, we can do props, but they've never done them before. And, you know, okay, who's going to build your props? You know, how big is your booster organization? I mean, we have these real in-depth conversations with people because we want them to be successful too. And they're using our product. We want them to take it and do well, but getting kind of an idea of what they're wanting to do and achieve, you know, they're new to competition. They're going to this level. Okay. What's the concept? What are we wanting to do? Oh, you don't have a concept. Do you have a tune in mind? No. I mean, sometimes that's fun. Like, hey, have you ever thought about doing this or doing this? And, you know, we've got plenty of shows that we want to write, you know, like that's sometimes just a fun thing where we're sitting around and we just kind of come up with, what if we did a show about this and we use this piece and this piece and this piece. And so we've got notes, and if there's a band that might fit that profile that doesn't have anything, I mean, we certainly could give that suggestion to them. But once we get the pieces selected, the first thing that we want to do is start moving forward with licensing, because a lot of times I would say that within the day, or even within the week, we'll find out. But we've had a problem in the past where something's lingering and lingering and lingering, and we're contacting Trey Sono or the publisher, and it's like, okay, it's coming through, or we're just getting delays, and sometimes it doesn't ever come through, and we've had to redo things by the time it, you know, we get into season. We don't like doing that. So we've kind of come up with a new policy that if we don't have the license secured within a month of applying for it, let's pick a different piece. And even within that first week or two, we kind of have an idea like, this might be taking longer. Let's start thinking about another backup piece. But once we get all the pieces selected, we kind of plot out how the show is going to work. Where are we going to use different pieces? Are we going to start with a story? What's the story going to be? So we can kind of build up the momentum and find out where our impact points are going to be and how we're going to pace that show as a whole. Even if it's not a story, we still kind of get that idea because you want to have an impact every 30 seconds or so. You know, you want to have some kind of a big moment that's going. And so we're still pacing that. You know, once we talk to the director and we go through and we're like, oh, I really want to highlight this person, like this instrument as a soloist, or I really want to feature this section. You know, we try to figure out, okay, this tune could be centered around this person, or it could be centered around this. And then where would we place that again for pacing, not just for your show, but for the students? You know, sometimes this has happened too, where, you know, there's just like boom, 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 so much energy that goes on in a show. And then by the end of a show, they don't have any more in them, you know? And so trying to be able to pace that out so they're not pushing out, you know, your wind players the whole time, you know, right. Maybe it's the pit has to take over here or this. So finding those strengths, and then we go right into, you know, drill and then choreography. So we get those arrangements, and we try to do a fairly fast turnaround process, just depending on our schedule. But we talk to the directors too, like, when are you realistically going to start playing this stuff? Cause right. it helps us. Like, my last concert is the last week of April. Okay, we'll have something for you to start working on by then, you know. And if they call us by early March, that's an achievable goal pretty easily. We might even have their whole show musically done by them. But most directors don't know their drill numbers until much later in the school year. You know, they're recruiting, retention, all that stuff that has to happen. And so that's what could slow down the process, because most of them get it sometime in May, late May, June. And then they also have camps like a month and a half later. And so mm-hmm. we want to get the drill written before we start writing choreography. And that's one thing that will happen too. You know, a choreographer just writes the choreography, the drill writer just writes, and they're not talking to each other. Then there's a pass through with your color guard that takes, you know, seven people out because they're doing something crazy. So right. we want to make sure that the choreography is written to the drill as well. And there might be, even with the color guard, that's another thing that's really important, is staging and trying to, they say, hey, we want to have rifles featured in the first one. We want to have swing flags in the second one. We want to have this saber soloist here. And we want to, and then it's like, okay, well, obviously you don't want them to just constantly be running as a sideline or out off the field to be changing equipment. And so finding balances on, this is something that's going on over here while these people are changing equipment. And then now all of a sudden they're there while this person changes equipment, because you'll see that in lots of shows, at least in this area, it seems like I'll go to competitions and you just see, okay, we're done with this movement. Color guard races off to the sideline and gets a new piece of equipment. I'm sure they hear about it from the judges too. So
yeah, it's distracting. It's all this movement that's not contributing to the show. And
yeah, exactly. It's like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, you know, the benefit of making that investment of hiring someone to come in and write and design all this stuff for you. You have people that have experience doing it that can make sure that your band is positioned to look the best, make sure your guard's positioned to look the best. And I think that helps students to feel good about the show that they're putting together and putting on. Certainly a dramatic difference for anyone who's experienced that, going from like kind of cobble together your own thing versus having someone adapt something. So let's talk a little about that adaptation process. So if I'm buying a show that's already designed, you're just adapting it for my band, what's that time frame looking like? Obviously, early is great. But how much time do you need? If I say, yeah, I want this 3.5 grade show that I like here, but I need you to fit it for my band, roughly how long is that process going to take?
So if it's like everything musically is staying the same, we're not having to cut half of a movement or phrases or anything. It's just, we're just reorchestrating it, you know, watering parts or beefing up parts. I would say 2 weeks musically for the full show. Sometimes sooner than that, but within 2 weeks, we'd be able to have full music. If there's, you know, some edits that might have to be done, like, hey, we need to extend this phrase. We want, you know, this section at the end earlier, or we need to cut 40 seconds out. it's going to be longer. And I would almost say it would be about the same as if we were doing a new one. We just wouldn't charge you for a new one because there's that. All of our drill, I mean, there's a physical component. I think most quality drill riders probably do this where they're not taking the old drill and that was written for 120 people, your band is 70, and just eliminating people and letting the computer program do it. I mean, there's a physical element, but I mean, I have seen drill riders do that, you know, just they might be a lot newer to that activity. But I think most quality ones probably start, okay, I can't use my old drill. I might have a couple ideas, some staging things, or like, oh, there's this cool pod thing, or I did this thing with concentric circles here that do this. Like maybe they've got a cool idea, but they have to rewrite it for that band. So it would be just like writing drill from scratch. And same thing with the choreography, because that has to be changed likely too. There's just a physical component to that. So the art for us, drill price and the guard price, even for an adaptation, would be the same. What saves them quite a bit of money, though, is, okay, I'm going to use music that already exists in your library.
Gotcha. So once I get those things, what am I receiving? Obviously, I'm getting all the parts and music. I'm getting the drill. But what else do you provide? Anything else to help folks when it comes to actually like teaching all this stuff out, showing it? What do they get?
Sure. Well, I mean,
and I should say, like, I'm asking this question. I'm not like intentionally trying to be dumb, but, or like trying to be overly simple, but, you know, I've never done it. Like I've marched, I've been on the field for all this stuff, but I've never actually had to like do a show, you know, because right. I've been in the music retail side of my entire career. So these questions of some people are listening going, come on, man, that's a stupid question. Like, well, I just don't know. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it probably varies with various companies, but I mean, everything we send is digital. So they've got it. They've got the copy. They need to print off extra copies. They've got it. You know, it's pretty, sometimes it's often that's like, hey, I need a second baritone TC part. I only did first baritone TC, but now we're going to have some TC. So we just make another part. I mean, some of that stuff happens and they get that digitally, but you know, yeah, they get all the drill and coordinate sheets as well. And then they get all of the choreography catalog by set, you know, so it's all videos, but it's like, here's set one, 16 counts. And it's 16 counts of choreography. Here's set two. It's 32 counts. There's 32 counts. Set three is eight, you know, and it's this, or it might be like, because there's eight and eight, you know, however it works, but they get that all choreographed and it's just cataloged by set there. But we certainly want the director to be successful too. So if they have an issue like, hey, we've started learning this and we're struggling with this move, or we're struggling with this, you know, we'll go back and we'll make an adjustment. You know, we offer rewrites within 10% of the total product, you know, just as something that we do. But that's also, you know, as needed, like, and first come, first serve at that point, because usually everybody gets to band camp late July, early August, and we'll hear about things, you know, maybe rewrite a few dozen shows, and it might be three or four people that have some changes right away that they're like, oh, we're really struggling with this. Can you adjust the end of this phrase or whatever?
And you've got a few different people on your team. I mean, it's not just you and like a color guard person. You've got yourself, you've got a few other people that are doing like music, that are doing both music and visual, drill and visual. Like there's several people that are doing this, but still, if all of you kind of get hooked up and we get close to, or, you know, when school starts, you're gonna start hitting that time crunch.
Well, and Donovan, another thing too, like you were asking, like, what might the director get? I mean, added services that we do. I mean, we've gone out and done camps, you know, our color guard person, she might, you know, do 3, 4, 5, 6 camps throughout the summer, color guard camps where she's in person teaching choreography. Same thing with some of our drill writers. Before I had to run my own program, I would do several weeks of percussion camps throughout the summer too. And so it's something that, you know, we all do, and we try doing either a clinic or this or that. And it's just an added service that people may want, like, hey, I'm in need of a color guard instructor for my camp. Okay, we can help you out with that. So
that's cool. So tell me a little bit about the changes that you're making at Neosho for this fall. So, you know, when we first connected tonight on Zoom, we sort of had a quick conversation about what's happening. So, I mean, in addition to doing show design, you're like we mentioned at the top, you're a marching band director, a high school band director. So what are some of the adjustments that you intend or have made or will make for Neosho's program this fall?
Well, and one thing that I was already, we got into the season and we did a different show than what we were planning for 2020. You know, something public domain, just fun music. Let's go out and do some stuff. And we took our time. There's no rush. We didn't have competitions. We spent a little bit more time with fundamentals, you know, already knowing that our inside stuff was going to have to be vastly different with our facilities and how COVID was going to affect us in rehearsal when we got into concert and jazz. You know, we wanted to have, oh, we've got more opportunities to play outside. We've got, you know, opportunities that we're going to do some team bonding and other things that they just end up losing. And because we didn't actually even get through the whole show that we did. And there was no shame in that. You know, I don't even, the students didn't know, we didn't even hand out the music. We kind of just introduced it in little spurts. We're usually like right now, I've just already shot out all the music that's been adjusted. Like, here's your show, go learn it for the summer. But, you know, knowing that, hey, we did less show this last year. So all of our freshmen that are going to be sophomores are freshmen again, because they never had to prepare a competition show. And, you know, those students specifically, you know, this is just something unique to us. They've actually never been in a band competition yet. You know, we usually take them like locally to NEO. And 2 years ago, I think they were having facilities being redone when they would normally have that one. And so we didn't end up taking them there. Last year, COVID hit. So, you know, they were eighth graders and we left halfway through that last second semester before they got to do that competition. Then we had COVID all this year. So the bulk of that class has never done any competition. I mean, other than maybe they prepared auditions for district honor band or solo ensemble or something like that. They haven't really ever had that competition thing. So we just decided we got to do less show. We just need to do less show, less is more. And so I cut a minute and a half out of our show. I mean, it was 8 minutes. Now it's like 6:20. I mean, if you add pre-show and some transitions, some other things that we might do, it's going to be longer, but there's 6 minutes and 20 seconds of actual music that they're going to learn. Also, as we were pacing out the show, you had to think about, okay, we were going to have less sets, obviously, but sometimes we were cutting some easy parts musically just because it's like, is this really going to add to the whole show? Could we take out this really easy phrase, still be able to transition from here to here? That's one less set here. Here's one less set here. And, you know, less is more. And so we tried to do that. So we still had those moments that were peaking and this and that, able to go through the whole show. Now we're storyboarding it right now. So like we're in the process of, okay, this is what our show is going to be about. Now it's going to have to happen quicker, or maybe some parts of the story that we were going to tell, that element doesn't really come out, you know? Because the other thing is, now that we're doing 6 minutes and 20 seconds, I mean, you introduce a theme, you know, that theme has to reoccur. You can't just introduce it once and it never comes back. It's not going to make any sense. So we took some of that stuff out. Or if we've got some element, it's like, are we able to actually build on this visual concept or this part of the story so it makes sense? If it's just like a one-off thing, maybe it's a cool thing that we did, but nobody really gets it because it doesn't make any sense anymore. So we're in the process of doing that right now. And then once we've got all that, then we start staging it and plotting it and putting it to drill. But, you know, I've had really strong percussion sections the last several years that I was here. I graduated several seniors, you know, COVID hit, some retention things that I had was unique to my program. I'm like, you know, it's not that they're going to be bad, but I don't want to feature them the way that I was going to feature them. I was going to have a major portion of the show that was going to be this high energy thing that happened with the full band, but the percussion was going to be driving that. And that's all just gone. That's not something that I even wanted to do. Certain solos that I was wanting to feature that was going to be for a senior here or there. Okay. They've been rescored for other instruments. You know, I'll feature this person now. I'll feature this. So those were things that we had to do as we went through it. But yeah, we're going to do less. We still want to make sure that there's plenty of show and we want them to feel successful. And we're still planning on going to Grand Nationals. So, you know, like,
wow,
we're still doing that coming out of 2020, but yeah, it's going to be less of a show.
Well, I think that's likely what everyone's doing. Certainly all the programs in the know that have enough experience to know they're all pulling it back and adapting for this season. And I think everyone wants to end the season feeling great about what they've accomplished. I think you'd rather feel like you could have done more than wishing you'd done less.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to be doom and gloom, but I think that this year is going to affect the next several years. I mean, it's going to change, I think, how a lot of directors are going to plan how they're going to develop their students going into concert band, what they're wanting to try focusing on. And, you know, we do, at least in Neosho, I want to have a strong, balanced program. I want my concert program to be great. I want my jazz program to be great. I'm really into marching. I'm excited about marching. I want that to be great, but I'm not trying to focus on one or the other. It's like, we need to do a little bit of give and take to try getting it. Cause really, if you had to have a balanced program, things are going to be easier to make great. You know, like it's going to be easier for you to have a great marching show if your concert program is great. It's going to be easier for you to understand certain articulation styles if you've got a real strong jazz program. You know, those jazzers, when you're doing that stuff outside, the other students are picking it up because it's already been established in your jazz program.
Yep.
And they just hear it.
And developing some, you know, like for trumpet players, developing range and those kind of things, we get more of that experience in jazz band, playing with different types of sounds as well. As all those things sort of feed to each other that we could then show off during marching band. So it's very true.
Sure.
Well, this was cool, man. This was a really interesting conversation. Is there anything that you feel like that you'd like for us to cover that we haven't covered yet?
Well, I just hope this is all done, you know. I hope COVID is over and we're getting back to normal. You know, like, we've signed up for competitions, you know, fingers crossed that we get to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kids need to do it. I mean, we do too. I've sat in a lot of webinars and that's fun, but I would rather go, as much as I don't want to be sitting in professional development, I would love to just go sit in professional development with people instead of looking at a computer screen, you know?
Yeah.
So
it was fun in the very beginning when it first started. It's like, oh, it's kind of nice. Like, I can do this from home or do this from whatever. It's sort of nice. And after a while, it's like, okay, this sucks, you know? And even things that I participated in that were really cool, I just would start getting distracted. You know, I'd have the webinar going on one window or on a tablet or something, have my laptop open. The next thing you know, I'm into my email and like, now I'm not even paying attention to this thing I'm going to. So right. I totally get it.
Well, and I am very much of an introvert at times. It's just like, but I want to be around people. You know, I just want to do that. I don't want to get COVID, but I want to be out there and around them.
Four State Winds is going to pick back up and play Independence Day concert, which I'm thrilled about. I just got my music today. Before this, I was sitting in my music room. I've got a little PA system. I have all the music, all the recordings of the music that I've made a playlist for. And I'm like playing my part along with this. And like, that's kind of kept me going through this pandemic, is playing a lot along with like with recorded music. I know the first time that we have rehearsal and that we're all sitting there and it's probably going to be Carl Junction band room and we get to play, like, man, that's going to be a really cool moment. You know, I'm sure Craig's going to like, all right, let's play the B flat scale. I'm sure that's how it's going to start. And that first time that we do, that's going to be like, oh man, this feels so good. Even just a B flat scale, you know, I know it's going to be great. So
yeah,
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it's needed for sure.
Thanks for listening to the Mo Better Bands podcast. If you have something to share, click the links in the show notes of your podcast app and leave us a message. Or email me directly at donovan@springfieldmusic.com. That's donovan@springfieldmusic.com. If you'd like to be a guest, would like to recommend a guest or a topic, shoot me a line. Thanks again for listening.